Hey, welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast. I'm Eric Mork. I'm the host. And what we do is we give you short, informative shows all about Silverlight. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of This Week in Silverlight. We're going to start off this week with Silverlight rumors, talk about some of the news from this past week. And then in a change from last week, we're going to talk about the application of the week, very last. All right, let's do this. First up, rumors. Kelly, what do we got?
There's this guy, Charlie Kindle, and he posted a blog post this afternoon, this evening, on Windows Phone developer experience, what it's going to be like for us. He said a couple things that I want to say they're kind of obvious. We knew they were coming. You know, at least we speculated it, right? I mean, you know, .NET is there. Silverlight is there. XNA is there. You know, we're using the .NET developers tools. Obviously, we're, you know, going to be using Visual Studio, not Eclipse, thank goodness. So, you know, I don't know that that's new to us. It's just nice that it's official, right?
Yeah, no, I hear that. And they're starting to release this information, you know, in a fairly public setting. So that's interesting. We'll have the link to the blog post up there. But he goes surprisingly into depth on the developer experience.
Well, the point I think he's making is these are tool sets that exist today because .NET's out there, Silverlight's out there, XNA's out there. So they're common tool sets out there. But is this how they're going to be on the Windows Phone 7 platform?
Sure.
It's different, but it's not really different.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Brian, so you went to the WeDig meeting. Well, first of all, what does WeDig stand for?
WeDig is Windows Mobile or Windows Embedded Devices Interaction Group.
Nice.
So it's traditionally the embedded people, the hardware guys, device drivers, stuff like that. But we got a little introduction preview of the Windows Phone 7 tonight. So we had a nice overview of that without getting an NDA. So we can actually demo the device because the device was there. It was hooked up to a laptop, had a cord. I think it was a USB cable. So he was able to demo it on the device and have it show up on the projection screen. So very interesting.
Cool, yeah, and so that was a looky, no-touchy sort of thing, right?
Yeah, it was interesting because he was actually touching, you know, the capacitive display on the device, and if you've seen the Windows 7, Phone 7 Series.com website where it has little white dots where you touch on it, the demo actually had that where he was touching, like, you know, one-point touch or two-point gesture, so you can actually see what he was doing on the display, and I think that was a very nice sort of developer or presenter interface for that.
Cool. Now, this is also different than the other phone that poked its head up on Engadget earlier this week, the Droid sort of keyboard phone.
Yeah, I think there was LG and Samsung both had like keyboard, slide-out keyboard devices sort of demoing hardware, but not with the Windows Phone 7 OS yet, but showing they're working on hardware prototypes.
Outstanding. So we also have a couple of, the Windows Mobile dev team, they have their Twitter account up. We're going to have their Twitter account there.
The Windows Phone 7 team, so it's WP number 7 DEV for the Windows Phone dev team.
Gotcha. And then the Windows Phone Twitter address was, but that's also from some Microsoft folks, right?
Right. And I think that's just more an overall marketing, just the coordination, just the PR stream. So that's just Windows Phone. And that's been around for a while.
And I think, Kelly, you said something about the information coming across the WP7 dev Twitter account.
Holy cow, this is amazing. I mean, like Sean Hargraves is posting to here. Charlie's posting to here. You know, they keep saying, Mix will answer all your questions. You know, that makes me feel really good, you know, that I'm missing GDC, the Game Developers Conference, you know. I think a lot of those sessions, this is me speculating, but a lot of those sessions are going to be rehashed at Mix. So hopefully, you know, Sean is representing his stuff at Mix, and I can get that and see that. I think there's supposed to be more games or a games track for phones there at Mix. Is that right?
There's a session, but I think after the keynote, I'm expecting more sessions to be announced because they keep referring to, you know, any XNA questions. They're saying, see Mix, there's going to be a game story there. But there's only one or two sessions currently, so I'm expecting to see a lot more probably announced post-keynote.
So we're also, the three of us, so Kelly and Brian and myself, we are going to be at Mix. So we're going to have our Twitter handles up there on the blog. If you're going to be there, make sure to say hello. And you can get in touch with us over Twitter. All right, news. So let's start off and let's talk a little bit. Well, actually, Kelly, can you tell us about these Morpag posts that are coming out?
Morpags. So I always pronounce it Morpog, right?
But okay, right.
Multiplayer something, like the big universe of games. It's World of Warcraft. There's this guy. I can't pronounce his name. He was an MVP previously, still is maybe. He lives over there in Shanghai, and he's doing this tutorial. He's got a fabulous blog. A lot of the sessions are in English, or the entries are in English. But he's been talking about Silverlight tutorials and how to do a big Morpog game with Silverlight. The link that we're posting to is about using the A-Star algorithm, so it's pathfinding. And it's cool, it's interesting, it's especially as you get in more X and A stuff, right? Because the two are, I mean, these are the same principles, game development principles, that you can do in X and A or in Silverlight. And this talks about Silverlight. It's really cool. Go check it out.
There's an interesting project on Colplex this week. It's called Diffplex, D-I-F-F-P-L-E-X at colplex.com. And it's any developer doing source control stuff, you're always checking stuff in, trying to make sure your code matches or merge stuff together. So this is a diff engine, so you can be able to, this is a fast, written in C#, it works in Silverlight, and there's actually a Silverlight online sample where you actually paste a couple of files and it actually highlights color codes differences for you, but the source code's available to play with. So just interesting.
Have either of you guys used that, like to actually diff something, or?
I placed a couple of code samples in and it highlighted and it actually showed the differences. I didn't a whole code base or a project, but there's it's actually online Silverlight page. It's if you go to the main site, there's a try it out link. You click the try it out link, you get two windows side by side. You paste two code samples in, and it does its thing, highlights it for you, and shows you differences.
So I could use this to write my own version of Beyond Compare, basically.
Exactly.
Cool. So I actually want to bring up a couple of quick things. So the first thing I want to bring up is actually Jeff Handley's blog. So Jeff is a pretty cool guy. He is on the Rhea Services team. And there's nothing really specific I want to point out about it, but he's just got, useful Rhea Services information on his blog, including some sample code. If you ever want to use Rhea Services in a real MVVM application, he's got some code there to help out with that. Rich Griffin, you guys know the XAML Ninja?
Yeah,
seen some of it.
He is going to be at Mix, by the way. So
cool.
Hopefully we'll see him there. He's got a blog post on resource dictionaries that's pretty thought-provoking. I mean, one of the cool things about him is he is definitely one of those in-the-trenches sort of Silverlight developers. And he's got good information, and he talks a little bit about developer and designer tensions when you design your resource dictionary structure. So developers, we tend to want to split things out and break them out, and the designers, especially since they don't see the files, they want to keep them together. So he talks about the things there. Jeremiah Morrill is a really cool guy, and he, by the way, just released some code that we haven't talked about yet. So one of the things that happens in Silverlight 4 out of the browser with elevated privileges is that the sandbox is gone. And what's been publicly demoed is you can just, call com objects or com call methods on com objects. And he demonstrates here that you can also fully break out of the sandbox when you're in elevated privileges. So pretty interesting code, and it's going to allow us to be able to do some interesting things on the desktop.
So, Eric, that's calling both managed and unmanaged code then.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he's actually been working on some hooks. And what piqued my interest was he was running IDA, which is a pretty cool debugger. And I was like, dude,
awesome.
he tweeted about it. And I was like, what are you doing? It's been years since I'd even seen it. And he let me know. And I was like, oh, right on. So he's posted his code there on the site. And I think he has plans to go to Codeplex as well.
Very nice. He's had a lot of good posts recently. So
absolutely.
Worth reading that blog.
That's a way that I could then write a, unmanaged code and then send that down in my zap and have that execute?
Yeah, so that would certainly be one way. And in fact, I think that would probably be the easiest way. So imagine a WPF application. that comes out in your Zap, and then you push it out and launch it outside of the Silverlight world. So people have been trying to do this in regular Silverlight, except the deployment story is always harder with their other applications. Like, they'll have to have another application to, you know, interact with a point of sale device or something. So they have to talk via a web service, you know, from the Silverlight client to the to the WPF application, which is always kind of a mess.
Kind of a bootstrapper application then.
Exactly. Yeah. And some people were saying, well, you know, does this violate security? And it doesn't, right? I mean, the user has said, look, this thing has permissions. They've clicked through all the scary dialogues.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I think it's really interesting. I think people are going to start to use that. And I mean, the downside, right, is that it's not cross-platform. So you're not going to see this used on, a phone or on the Macintosh or something like that.
Well, it has some, because some of the managed stuff, like if you have Mono or something like that, you're able to do as well. But the story is a little more complicated there. It's not a consistent story.
Oh, yeah, but that is an interesting idea, right? Like, you could bring over the Mono libraries. And I hadn't thought of that. That's pretty cool.
Just some ideas for our audience to play with.
Wow.
And tell us about.
Yep. All right. So we brought up Walt last week. And so,
busy dude.
we went back and forth on Twitter actually about that, which I thought was pretty funny.
Thanks, Walt.
Did you?
Poor Kelly.
Did you see that, Kelly? Yeah,
I did.
So, Kelly, tell us about the the training Walt has.
So Walt is a great trainer, right? He's a great instructor, and he's up on lynda.com. So if you head over there, we've got a link for it. It's a beginner. It's targeted towards a beginner, but it's Silverlight 3 Essential Training. I was scrolling down through the syllabus here, and it looks pretty good. But it's almost 7 hours long. Now, I'm not totally sure if you have to pay for any of these, or you just have to be registered at lynda.com to view everything. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that out either, but definitely some interesting looking stuff.
The first couple of chapters are free, but I think after that either you got to register or you have to pay for it. And there's like 13 chapters or 13 modules. So there's a lot of content there.
Brian, you found that John Papa had said something interesting about Mix.
Yes, John and some of their people on the Mix team or Mix planning team had mentioned. I think it was even mentioned on the Countdown to Mix, which was released yesterday or today, that this is going to be the largest Mix ever as far as attendance. And I'm not sure it's sold out. I don't think it is because they changed venue this year, so maybe have a larger venue, but it's definitely larger than previous years.
Yeah, I think it's going to start to lose some of that small conference feel, which is, I mean, it's good. The stuff is going mainstream, but I think I'll miss the old Mix.
Well, they're still trying to keep that. Like when they mixed the Countdown to Mix, they mentioned that they want to keep that small town, so they're limiting it. But it is already, you know, reaching capacity. So it's they're getting close to being sold out, but they haven't actually said that yet. So make sure if you want to go sign up, you only got like 7 or 8 days here, and then Mix happens. So
yeah, we're getting close. Okay, and that brings us to application of the week, and Brian found this one. Brian, tell us about FlickrNet.
This was
FlickrLight.net. Sorry, go ahead.
Rerun that or reintroduce?
No, baby, no time. We're gonna go.
This week, discovered an interesting application. It was actually on the Silverlight.net gallery of applications where I noticed it. I occasionally go there to check and see what the latest stuff's coming out. So, FlickrLight, so like Flickr as in the Flickr photo sharing site. And then Light is the second half of Silverlight. And it's just a nice interface. As you bring it up, it gives you a nice slideshow based on the photos of the day. So you have a calendar. You can select what day to view. By default, you get today's photos. And then at the bottom of the photos, as it goes to the slideshow, it actually has the person's account there. And if you click on the account, it actually goes to that person's account and gives you their collection of folders. So all the different photos they have, if they have more than one, they show up, and you can actually drill into that and view that, change layouts, scroll through it.
Yeah, I thought this was a really interesting application. I thought they got some stuff really, really right, like the design, mm-hmm. the display of the images, it looks nice. It's kind of hard to explain how they do it, but it, you know, they use some perspective transformations and some other things to get the display just right. Usability, not so high. I think both Kel and I got lost as we were, you know, digging around.
Discoverability is definitely not there. Once you figure it out, it's okay to use, but discoverability is funny because the first thing I looked at, I thought it was just a plain slideshow. But then once I discovered, you can go into different people's folders and look there, then all these other features start surfacing, but they're not obvious at the beginning. So,
yeah. All right, then, folks. Oh, just go ahead.
One last point is navigation in the browser, like forward and back buttons work. So that's part of the discoverability. That's not obvious in the beginning as well. So that you explore and navigate through different sets of folders.
Yeah, and it took me a while to discover that too.
I like it. I was just going to say
I do.
I like it a lot. I wish that more people would write, you know, a Flickr client for their first Silverlight app rather than a Twitter client. You know, this is a great way to get involved and learn some usability.
Yeah, it's a very rich API too. So,
plus, I'll tell you the absolute best thing about writing an application against Flickr, and you can find this in your browsers by going to flickr.com/crossdomain.xml. That's their policy file they've had there that allows the cross-domain calls.
Awesome.
So you can call it from Silverlight inside the browser or Flash or other tools from inside the browser. And not everybody does that.
You can do it in Silverlight 3 then. You don't need Silverlight 4.
You can do it in Silverlight 3. You can do it inside the browser, outside the browser. Wherever you are, you can reach out and touch that API.
Great point.
All right, folks. Yeah, so we got one more show, and then we'll be at Mix, and we'll be recording at Mix. So I can't wait to see you guys there.
Great.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in Silverlight 3 or Silverlight 4, check out our website, silverbaylabs.org. That's where we have information about Silverlight consulting and development. If you're interested in training, check out the Silverlight Tour, where I'm an instructor.